Well, we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we're not even out of chapter 5 yet, so there is a lot of teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Follow along as I read to you where we have arrived, 5:33 through 37, the section where Jesus talks about oaths. 5:33. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. May the Lord God add his blessing to the reading of his word. I'm sure you've heard and are very familiar with oaths. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I guess if you used to go to a court of law and give testimony, you would do that. Now you don't have to swear on the Bible, you just have to affirm. But technically it's still an oath, it is binding, and it is legal. And we hear vows that are shared, such as, I take thee to be my lawful wedded wife, and I do promise and covenant before God and these witnesses to be loving and faithful husband in sickness and in health, and so on and so on. So we are familiar with vows that are exchanged at weddings. We hear oaths, we hear vows, and yet what is remarkable, and we hear, well, that's going on a tangent, but I would guarantee we don't take oaths very seriously. We don't take vows very seriously. In fact, I'm sure that we expect and anticipate that most of them will be broken. We're not a people of our word as it used to be. I try and be a person of my word, as we say it's important. If you give your word, you give your word, you show up. I've always wondered about that. We'll say, I'll be at a certain place at a certain time. Why is it that 90% of the people who give their word are late? And we're saying, well, your word wasn't very good. You're 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, and you have a lot of excuses. A.M. Hunter writes, oaths arise because men are so often liars. That's good. It says, we lie naturally, and we just expect people to lie. Do we really expect politicians to keep the promises they make during the campaign? Not really. I don't, and my wife prays diligently every day, please don't show any more political commercials, because I'm there talking back to them and saying they're liars and aren't going to do what they promise. I mean, I was all for Elizabeth Warren when she was going to give me $200. But then Andrew Yang came along and was going to give me $1,000. So, hey, he bought my vote for $1,000. And truthfully, before the Lord, I'm not going to vote for Elizabeth Warren or Andrew Yang. Probably. Most definitely. Okay, we're on politics. Off of that. Okay. So we expect a lot of just not truthful conversation. We don't expect people really to follow through with what they say. And sometimes if it's important, especially as a kid, I don't think we do it much more any, but when we were growing up, it was quite common to cross my heart and hope to die if you said something. You remember that, right? Cross my heart and hope to die? Now I'm the only one? Okay. Oh, okay. So, yeah. You know, and it's sort of like saying, what I'm saying is true, and may I die if it's a lie. I wonder how many people, if they should have actually died when they crossed their heart and hoped to die. Dwight Pentecost writes, "Our day is characterized by the credibility gap. Every man's word is suspect, and we have adopted the attitude that although we hear what is said, we know what is said is not what is meant. This has become so widespread that the government has now had to move into the advertising realm and establish certain guidelines about truth in advertising. Facts we have accepted as truth are now found to be false. So we have come to mistrust almost everything that is said." So when people advertise a product, what they're saying is, read the fine print, and it's almost like, and we're inundated with pharmaceutical ads for all certain kind of health issues. And I always laugh there at the end of them because they're going to tell you what this pill is going to do. But because by law now, they have to tell you at the end of the commercial, and it may cause, you know, a rash, cough, diarrhea, you know, all these symptoms, and at the end, and it may cause death in some circumstances. You've heard them. Maybe, yeah. And I say, well, I'll go without the pill if that's a risk, you know. So anyway, Jesus is now talking about oaths. And some Christians have actually come to passages of Scripture, and they won't even take an oath for fear of disobeying the Bible. No, God never said you can't take an oath. You have it spelled out in the Old Testament how to take a vow, and if you do take a vow, make sure you keep your word. God never said it was a sin to take an oath. In fact, God himself has given oaths to some of his statements, which confirm they're true, because he swears by himself, and as God says, there's nobody greater than God. So anyway, we looked at this passage here where Jesus is talking about oaths because they've been abused by the Pharisees. And you'll understand that as you get into the study of it. The Pharisees had all kinds of loopholes. So it's sort of like if you see on the movie, you know, and people are saying something and then they got their fingers crossed, you know, behind their back. It's sort of like if you have your fingers crossed, what you're saying is null and void, or it's not really true. God doesn't say it works that way. When you say it with your lips, you're saying it. You know, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. So what is an oath? Well, we look it up in the original, especially in the Greek here. It means to enclose with a fence or to bind together. So the oath is a statement that you build around or fence in another statement to verify the validity of the original statement. It's sort of like, I say this, and now I'm going to take an oath to verify what I say is true. I think you pretty well grasp that. Sort of like in a court of law. If you do affirm to something or swear to it and say it's the truth, and you are in a situation like that, then it is a crime to lie. It is against the law. Now you can go on, you know, television, you can go out in public, and you can make all kinds of statements that are untrue, but it's not against the law. It's not a crime, because you have not sworn to it with an oath under perjury. So oaths are usually made with reference to a deity, either the God of the Bible or some other false deity people would call in and say, by this idol I swear. But it's so serious you try and call in and say a deity is backing up your truthfulness. Now that's serious if you think about it, because God says if you're going to use my name in your statement to back up your statement and it's a lie and you know it's a lie, I don't want to be involved in it. And that's a serious sin. That's taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. That's serious, you know, and that's why God put it there in the Ten Commandments. You know, he wasn't talking about going out and cursing with his name. He was saying, when you call my name in for verification of your truthfulness, it better be true. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And as you know also, actually probably primarily more in the Old Testament, when they took vows, they would also associate with them a deity or a curse. And that is, if I'm not telling the truth, may God strike me dead. And so people would say, hey, if I'm not telling the truth, may God strike me dead. You know, it's sort of like to this day when Oral Roberts got up there and said, if I don't get this much money in 32 days, God's going to strike me dead. Do you remember that? Yes, I remember that. I said, people, don't give the money, don't give the money, don't give the money. He didn't get the money. He didn't get the $32 million. Guess what? Oral Roberts is a liar because he took the name of God in vain because God didn't strike him dead then. He is dead now. But, you know, why do we do that? And we say we're Christians. And that's outrageous. That's outrageous. You know, may God strike me dead. Well, I'm going to give you an example in the New Testament here of a person that God got upset with because he used an oath in an unbiblical way. Remember in Matthew 26, 69 through 79, this is the passage where Peter has gone to the courtyard and it's cold and he's there to find out what they're doing to Jesus. He's trying to get information. And if you read it in the text, like in Matthew 26, 70, they came up to him, and most of you who know the Lord and know the passage, but he says in verse 70, Peter says, I do not know him. Now this is the statement that is challenged. You know, he said, hey, I don't know him. I don't know Jesus. So somebody comes along and says, wait a second. So in 26, 71, 72, it says, he made that statement, and then it says he denied it with an oath. Now, this isn't cursing, you know, like we think, you know, we curse so easily in our society. He wasn't cursing when it said he denied it with an oath. He was actually saying, so help me God, I hope to die if it's not true. Now, that was the oath that he was taking. He just made, I do not know him, and may God strike me dead if it's not true. That was the first denial. And he put an oath attached to it. And so it moves on, if you know, in the passage. And then Matthew 26, 72 through 74, he goes on again and he says, he adds on to him. He's very, very sincere, vehement here. Again, he inserts another oath to his statement, I do not know him. And John MacArthur writes, still later, with other bystanders made the same assertion, that is that Peter knew him, Peter began to curse and swear, I do not know the man. The swearing was not profanity, but an oath given with special vehemence. Peter increased the strength of his oath, but he did not increase the truth of what he said. So we can see even in the scriptures, even the disciples knew what it was to take an oath. Taking an oath doesn't mean what you're saying is true. Just means you're trying to call on usually a deity or someone in greater authority to validate what you've said, even if it's a lie. So what does God say about especially attaching his name or for an oath, you know? As I've already mentioned in the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And again, as I mentioned, just to support it and substantiate it, he's not talking about cussing. He's not talking about profanity. He's talking about people taking the name of God in vain, using God as a witness to verify their truthfulness when they are lying. That's what it means. And so God says, hey, I don't like that. I don't want that. That's serious. My name is important. My name is to be held in awe. You are to worship before the name of God, in a sense. So he says, hey, you just cannot take it you have to take it seriously. Don't take it in vain. And God says that again, like in Isaiah 59:4. Now David Siemens, who was a pastor and a writer of biblical books, he writes, I remember a fellow who came by my office early in my pastorate in Wilmore, Kentucky. He told me a story about a relative who had died, leaving no money for the funeral. It was quite a sob story, and I really didn't believe it, but he nagged me so much, I gave him some money. I wasn't in a very good mood, and I said rather in an unkind thing. Now, you be sure to do that, because if you do, you'll be the first person in all my years to keep your word this way. No one has ever come back to repay me, and I would like to see you break my record. He was deeply pained by my words. Tears came to his eyes, and he raised his right hand and said, I will come back and I will wash your car, and if I don't, may God strike me dead. That must be exactly what happened, because I never laid eyes on him again. Attaching the name of God to an oath is serious. Be very careful in using it, and be certain that you will do all within your power to keep it. And the study of oaths you can do on your own as to what God said about it. I'll just give you some direction here. There are numerous scriptural passages that talk about it. Deuteronomy 10:20. Jeremiah 12:16-17, Leviticus 19:12, Numbers 32, Genesis 14:22-24, Genesis 26:31, 1 Samuel 20:16, Psalm 132:2, and Joshua 9:15. There are just numerous examples. Hebrews 6:13 and 14. And Paul even talks about oaths in Romans 1:9, 2 Corinthians 1:23. So God never said you can't take an oath. God never said you were sinning if you were called into a court of law and said you had to swear on the Bible as to what you were saying is true. Now I stress this because there are some Christians, there are some believers who take the text in that it is a sin to take an oath. The Bible never says that. Even Paul himself took some vows and made oaths. The sin is in not keeping what you say. So if you say it, and you say it under an oath, it's binding. Now, as we get through the passage, what Jesus was essentially saying is, you should be of such a character that you don't need an oath. Let your yes be yes and let your no be no. You are such a person of truth. Your word is your bond. You shouldn't have to be calling in all these oaths to fence in what you say. So God never said it is a sin to take an oath. But there are some basic facts about oaths from the Bible. You should only use them on serious matters. You know, not on just trivial conversations that you're having. You know, like if you're playing a game of football out on the park, or, you know, what the Bible says an oath is for a serious situation. So, you know, just don't use it casually. Be careful when you say, I'm going to attach an oath to your statement. And so, as I pointed out, oaths are not entirely forbidden. So remember that also. James Boyce writes, I believe that if we are to receive the full import of Christ's teaching, we must realize that he is not speaking about taking of oaths primarily. This is the sense in which certain religious bodies in our time have taken Christ's teaching, and hence they will not swear to the truth of their statements, even in a court of law. Actually, Jesus was speaking not against oaths themselves, but against the abuses of oaths and corresponding abuse of the truth that went with them. And Jesus was upset, and I'm sure he's upset with us too if we use oaths in an incorrect way and our word isn't our bond or we don't keep our vows. But the Pharisees were manipulators of the truth. And that's what Jesus is really confronting here, because he's saying to them, they had a way of out and out lying if you did it right. For example, he says that if you swear just by the temple, that's not binding. That's what the Pharisees taught. But if you swore by the gold of the temple, that was binding. And essentially what he is saying is, that's silly. That's ridiculous. There's no loopholes in your word. But the Pharisees had brought it in to their system to where they were master manipulators. And they could say, hey, mom and dad, you need some money. I know you do. And they had a ton of money, but they didn't really want to give it. And so they said, oh, I can't give it because I use this other loophole over here to say I promised to put it in my tithe. I promised to give it to the church. I promised to give it to God. And the point was, they weren't even going to give it to God. They just didn't want to give it to mom and dad, who were in desperate need. There are people like that. That's why, in a sense, we've become a society where we don't trust people, where they want to sell you a product. And you teach your children at an early age, you should, and your grandchildren, even to this day. You know, we are deceiving the public because we promise a product will do something and it will not. And it's not only on television, it's on the internet. And it's on your email. You know, and it's on your robocalls that you get. They're all out there lying to sell you something. It's what we call the fine print. You know, read the fine print. And some of them don't even care about that. They just out and out lie and want to get your credit card number. I remember one time, and I knew these things, but sometimes I bother them. My wife says, why do you do this? But anyway, they advertise this marvelous weight loss pill. And, and I wish that the Lord would just zap the extra adipose tissue off of my body. By the way, that's fat, if you didn't know. And just take it away. We're always struggling with too much. So this commercial promised to lose all this weight, and they were going to send you a month's trial for free. It's what it said, for free. Try it, and, you know, and your money back guaranteed. Try and get your money back. But anyway, I called up the number, and I gave them all the information and where to send it. And then the person said, and I took up all their time, and they said, well, what's your credit card number? I said, I gave you my address. You don't need a credit card. No, we need your credit card number for shipping. Well, I said, the commercial didn't say I had to pay shipping. Just said it was free. So, the product's free, but you got to pay for shipping. Well, I don't want to pay for shipping. I just want the free product. Send it to me. And eventually they hang up. But I do things like that. I don't know why. It's probably my old nature. Anyway. But people come along, some Christians I know mean well and say they won't take an oath. I say it's not taught in the Bible. And then one was very, very, very sincere about it. And I said to him, do you pay your taxes every year? Yeah. And you file your, you know, the numbers of the form, your 1040 form and all that stuff, and do you sign it as it requires at the end? He says, oh yeah, I always sign them. I said, did you read what it says under that? And he said, no. Well, I said, well, you should get a magnifying glass in and read it, because it says when you attach your signature to those taxes, you are swearing an oath to the federal government that what you say in those forms is true and accurate. Oh, I didn't know that. I said, yeah, you just took an oath. So be careful there. But sometimes we manipulate the truth, you know, in a sense, by even telling the truth in the way we tell the truth, because we are trying to deceive people. Many of you probably have read Marjorie Rollins' The Yearling. If you haven't read The Yearling, it's a good book. Gregory Peck made the movie. But anyway, and they're running, has this farm down in Florida. He gets a deer, and then the deer eats the crop. I don't know. Well, anyway, but in it, the dad's name is Penny Baxter, and he wants to sell his hunting dog, but the hunting dog is no good. It is no good at all. So he wants to sell it. So I'm just going to read a part of it to you here. He says, so Penny Baxter wants to get rid of his hunting dog. That's no good. So he tells his son, and you know, how to tell the truth and not to tell the truth and all this. So Penny takes his dog over to his neighbor, Lynn Forrester. And Lynn asks him about his dog. He ain't, and this is what he says, he ain't worth a good twist of tobacco, says Penny. He is the sorriest bear dog I have ever followed. Now, that's the truth. He isn't lying. That's the truth. But he says it in such a way as Lynn thinks he's lying to him. So Lynn is thinking, he's just lying to me. So he comes over to Penny Baxter's the next day with a new shotgun to buy the dog with. And so he trades and he gets the dog. And then Penny starts getting convicted in his conscience because his son has watched him sort of con this neighbor. And he says, son, he says that sometimes your words may be true, but your intent is as crooked as the Okanagan River. So what he's saying is, I think what the Bible is teaching us, you've got to be truthful even in your tone. You can communicate the truth and use it to deceive. You're smart enough to know that. And God is telling not only us, he's telling everybody, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So as I said to you, the Pharisees had this complex system of lying. For example, as I said, if you swore by the temple, you were not obligated to keep it, but if you swore by the gold of the temple, you were. So in a sense, let's be consistent with the truth. And I'm going to, and I'm sure it's different now today, but I always thought it was crazy. I guess I was, when I went to college, and this was before I had met my wife, so, but anyway, I went to Bethel College, a Christian college up in Minnesota, and in the dorms, it was illegal. I don't know if it is today because I've been away from the college, but then it was definitely posted all over the dorms. You could not play with face cards, you know, like, you know, King, Jack, Queen, all that. That was forbidden. That was considered a sin. If they caught you playing with face cards, wow, you were disciplined. You could even be expelled. But it was okay with the college to play cards. Well, back then they called them rook cards, and they had no pictures on them. It would be like playing Uno today. You know, it's okay to play Uno, but not okay to play poker, so in a sense. So that's inconsistent. You know, you need to be consistent. And so Haddon Robinson writes, Jesus uses the underlying principle that righteousness is not outward conformity to rules and ceremonies, but an inner response of a heart that is merciful and pure and seeks peace. He reminded the Pharisees that people had said long ago, Do not break your oath, but keep your oaths you have made to the Lord. And that's essentially what the Sermon on the Mount is teaching. Be totally honest. When you're talking to a person, be honest. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. You know, let your word be your bond. So some applications. So in some certain circumstances, God isn't saying it's a sin to take an oath. But be careful. Be cautious. Be selective. You know, just don't do it in a casual way. But if you do, take an oath. Let it be true and keep your word. God doesn't like it when you break your word, even when we break our word to each other. God says, that's not good. Be honest with one another. So I only tell lies to my wife if it's absolutely necessary. So, and she knows that, and she always knows when I'm lying. So I'm practicing, though. I'm practicing. I'm kidding. And I want to end with, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't seek to deceive anybody with your words or your actions or your tone. Let's just stand now and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, let our yes be yes and our no be no as we learn from this passage, because our word should be our bond, and we should keep the words of our lips. In Jesus' name, amen.